This is session 27 in the Practical Ministry Skills course. And today we're talking about finding God's leaders from the 16th chapter of the book, Pastoring the Nuts and Bolts. Our key verse, that the leaders led in Israel, that the people volunteered, bless the Lord. Judges 5:2. When leaders lead, and then when people volunteer, praise the Lord, my goodness. As a pastor, I can tell you, finding volunteers is such a blessing. So, praise the Lord for those kinds of things. There are two views about finding people, matching up the people in the church with the jobs that need to be done in the church. One view says, look for someone with the gifts to match the job. And that makes obvious sense. But then there are those who would look at it the other way and say, those whom God calls, God equips. If God calls somebody into a position, God will make sure that they become gifted and are able to have that. I would say it's a combination of both. I would say, in general, I would go with the first one, try to match up gifts to the job. And then if God brings somebody else, or if there's nobody that seems to have the gifts, but it's something that needs to be done and you can get somebody willing to agree to do it, then count on God to equip them. God works both ways in different situations. And so I just bring those two thoughts to you. And again, I don't think you have to choose one or the other and be hard and fast and argue about it. God will work them all out. Now, I want to take some time here to say something that I didn't put in the book because I think it really didn't fit exactly there. But I think it's very valuable for you all to hear and to understand. And it's something that I have not seen taught in many other places. About the only other place I've seen this taught is in the back matter, an article in the back of the Spirit-Filled Life Study Bible, edited by Jack Hayford. And I am not sure who wrote the article in the back. I came up with it. I don't think I came up with it on my own, but I cannot remember where I heard it. But I was in the same part of California as Jack Hayford around the time he was coming up with it. I didn't have a lot of contact with him. I heard him speak one time. But it may be that all of that came together. But anyway, this is a way of looking at giftedness, spiritual gifts, that seems to me extremely biblical and also matches my experience, but doesn't match any of the so-called spiritual gift tests that you might find out there and so on. So let me go through that with you. And it starts with 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. Paul writes, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. So, if you look at that again, you have the Spirit gives the spiritual gifts, you have the Lord with the service, and you have God the Father with the work, the different kinds of work that happen. So let's use that as a framework for going on and looking at those. The first one that was listed was different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Then you look, actually, continuing right on, Paul expands on the spiritual gifts part. The spiritual, the ones coming from the Spirit. And he says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of the spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. So these are typically known as the charismatic gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural kinds of things. These are not ones that, if you look at them again, where are we? These are not things that anybody possesses. It says they're given. Different ones are given. But they're activated by the Spirit, who allots them as the Spirit chooses. They are gifts to us, but not in the sense that we own them and possess them and can choose when and how to use them. In other words, nobody has the gift of healing to the point that they can walk into a hospital and clean it out. These are things, manifestations of the Spirit. That means they are the ways that the Holy Spirit makes himself known. These are supernatural things that God has the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, looks for somebody who is available to meet a need. And then if there is a Christian who is open to receiving and being used in, for instance, a gift of healing, and there's a sick person that needs the gift of healing, needs to be healed, the Holy Spirit may give that individual a special anointing or gift for healing for that time while they pray for that person. But that doesn't mean, as I said, that they can then go and necessarily pray for anybody else that's sick. So these are supernatural gifts under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. And if I don't watch myself, I'll spend all my time talking about this, so I'd better move on, because you can find these things in other places. You can find out about these things. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. We've looked at that. That's at the beginning of what we've really been doing through in our ministries here. And the point here is the second part of that, of this, is there are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. Lord is commonly used in the Bible to refer to Jesus. And these are kinds of service that we can give to serve the Lord. And they are here tied with Jesus in Ephesians 4:11, that they are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers are offices in the church to serve the Lord, to serve the body of Christ. So that's a whole different kind of gift from these first gifts that we were looking at. And then the third one, if we go back, it says God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. In Romans 12:6-8, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. These are things that are just kind of baked in. They're God the Father is primarily, we relate to very often as the Creator. He created us, He made us, we're His children, and He put these gifts in us as part of us. So, in other words, teaching is my primary spiritual gift in this category, in this type of gift. I can teach. I have a gift to where I can take something, almost anything that I know, and I can teach it to almost anybody, because that's my gift. You probably know a lot of teachers who do that as well. There are other people that have tremendous leadership gifts, other people who are very much in the background, but their gift is service, or the way it's translated here, ministry. So these are the what you might call personality traits. These are probably the ones that are most valuable, the most necessary in looking for finding who God has picked out to be leaders in your church, to take on certain roles in your church. But the thing I just wanted to give to you, not because it directly relates, but because I think it is an important teaching that is not taught enough, is that the idea that these are three different categories of gifts, and the rules that apply to one don't apply to the others. You can see this in the fact that prophecy or prophet is listed in all three, but they're very different kinds of meanings. In the gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophecy is a word from the Lord that comes through the Holy Spirit into your spirit that you can't demand it. You can't say, now I'm going to prophesy. You can only do it when the Lord gives you a word to give. Prophets in the Ephesians 4 gifts are people who are recognized in the church as having often been used in this way, in a way that they have gotten good at it and are reliable. Because all of these, there's a learning curve. You learn, you can develop in your skills in it. So a prophet, anybody can prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14, I believe it is, Paul says, all of you can prophesy. Anybody can prophesy. But in Ephesians 4, not everyone is a prophet. Prophets are recognized people in office in the church. And then in the Romans 12, prophet is more of a, as I understand it, in this case it's more of a mindset, an attitude, like the Old Testament prophets. Prophecy is speaking truth to power, not being afraid to tell somebody they're doing something wrong in the name of Jesus. And so you probably know some people like that. They're not always easy to get along with, but it's a personality trait that God has put into us. So I just wanted to bring those out. The prophets, and I wanted to say, again, I think I've said this before, now that we're talking about prophets, the prophet's job is to deliver the message to the pastor, the leader, the minister, the board, the council, whoever makes the decisions, not to enforce his or her idea of what should be done about it, not to go off and tell everybody else how unspiritual they are because they didn't do what the prophet thought that they should do with the message. So, in recognizing and choosing people for leadership, there's the gifts, there's also the side of skills. Exodus 36, the Lord has gifted Bezalel, Aholiab, and the other skilled craftsmen with wisdom and ability to perform any task involved in building the sanctuary. Let them construct and furnish the tabernacle just as the Lord has commanded. So these are skilled craftsmen, carpentry skills, artistic skills, musical skills could go in there, computer skills, any kind of skills, they're all gifts from God. And so take skills into account when you're looking for your leaders in the church, for people to ask to take on jobs and do things. Notice that it says, let them construct and furnish the tabernacle. Give them some space. Give them some freedom. God said, make the tabernacle this size and this shape and out of these materials. He didn't say, here's how you cut it, and here's how you sew it, and here's exactly where I want the nails to go. He let them figure that out. So let the skilled people exercise their skills. Don't micromanage your people. Recognize the people God has prepared to lead your church and ministries. That's one of your big jobs. So that means you need to get to know your people and their skills, but also you need to protect the church from self-appointed leaders who would take you in the wrong direction. Leaders can be appointed by the pastor, appointed by a board. They can be elected. They can be volunteer in different polities and different jobs that you need them to do. Volunteers, we started off saying what a blessing that is. Sometimes volunteers are hard to find. The pastor is saying to the firemen, people were slow in leaving the building until I stopped yelling fire and started yelling, who wants to teach Sunday school? And then they all jumped up and ran out the door. There are a few positions where hard experience has taught me to be wary of volunteers. If someone seems eager for a job that gives them access to the church's money, you be very careful about that. If someone seeks a position that gives them any kind of control over you as the minister, either by controlling how much you get paid or your living or working conditions or even whether you keep your job, you be real careful about that. I made it personally a policy that if there was a certain committee in our denomination that each church has a committee that specifically deals with those issues in the pastor. And if anybody ever volunteered to sit on that committee, that automatically disqualified them in my mind. It's just too dangerous. Somebody seeking a position because they think it will give them control, because they think that it will make them a big shot in the church, you want people who are there to serve God, not to make themselves look like a big shot. In any of these cases, you graciously suggest another area in the church that they can volunteer. And if they genuinely want to serve God, they'll be happy. And if they get angry and upset about it and threaten to leave, let them, because it means they were looking to do trouble. All right, biblical qualifications, ability. Look for people who love God and love your church and who habitually put time and energy into learning and growing in the Lord. The ones that show up at the Bible studies, the ones that show up to help out with things. People who support your vision as the leader. Look for people perhaps who have a passion for a given area. If you have somebody who is just really always excited about working with the youth, then let them work with the youth. If you have somebody who has a passion for evangelism, then put them in your evangelism committee. You want people that are teachable, though. You don't want somebody that says, I know everything and I'm going to tell you exactly how it ought to be done. And, of course, you need somebody that has time to do the job. I talk in the book about the term limits, about the personnel committee. I'm not going to go through all of that again, mainly because we don't have time. I just have time to show you this last one from 1 Timothy 5:22. Never be in a hurry about appointing a church leader. The more traditional translations say, don't lay hands on someone in haste. Never be in a hurry about appointing a church leader, because it's so hard to get them back out of a position without causing all kinds of trouble, hurting people's feelings. So pray, go through your processes, have good processes, and God will provide the people for the work that He wants your ministry to do.